They're four-legged, full of love, and more like family than their nickname suggests. Now, they're the subject of the Parcast original, Dog Tales. Every Monday, hear the true tales of heroic canines who have gone above and beyond their best friend duties. Enjoy this exclusive clip from the first episode on Buddy, the German Shepherd, the world's first seeing-eye guide dog. And if you want to listen to the full episode, follow Dog Tales free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been a long day. Trouble at work, stuck in traffic, family drama. You get home, open your front door, and see your dog's wagging tail. They press against your legs, feet tip-tapping on the floor. As you rub their ears, your frustration melts. If you're most people, you're picturing a Labrador Retriever, a fluffy, loyal, sometimes mischievous pup who's always there to play fetch or cuddle after a bad day. Most people don't think of a shepherd mix who saved 50 people, a Newfoundland who helped create the map of America, or the Huskies who starred in the Cuba Gooding Jr. classic, Snow Dogs. Through millennia, dogs have evolved to be our best friends. But some dogs go beyond the calls of sit, roll over, and stop chasing the Amazon delivery guy. This podcast is about those very good dogs. Welcome to Dog Tales, a Parcast original. Every week, we tell the stories of historic, heroic canines. We'll profile dogs who saved people from earthquakes, went to outer space, and even spurred the invention of Velcro. If you're looking for fun stories and a warm heart, you're barking up the right tree. I'm your host, Alastair. You can find episodes of Dog Tales and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. To stream Dog Tales for free on Spotify, just open the app and type Dog Tales in the search bar. At Parcast, we're grateful for you, our listeners. You allow us to do what we love. Let us know how we're doing. Reach out on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and Twitter at Parcast Network. And if you enjoy today's episode, the best way to help is to leave a 5-star review wherever you're listening. Today, our focus is a German Shepherd named Buddy. Most of you are picturing a male dog right now, but actually Buddy was a girl. And her unusual name might be the least interesting part of her story. Born on Fortunate Fields Farm in Mont Pelerin, Switzerland, Buddy was a 1920s working dog. She was a German Shepherd that was bred to help soldiers win wars, police officers track criminals, and the Red Cross save lives. But Buddy's destiny was life-saving of a different sort. She became America's first seeing-eye dog. When Buddy first met Morris Frank, she was not enthused. The American smelled weird, and he ran out of treats very quickly. Buddy remained friendly but wary, relying on her sense of smell, 10,000 times better than a human's, and her extremely strong hearing, which could detect anything from an oncoming earthquake to Morris's heartbeat. They were both nervous as she sniffed him, getting familiar. Then, he tried to put her leather harness on her. But instead of the swift maneuver she was used to, he poked her in the eye. She whined and he jerked away, more sensitive to sound than her master's. Maybe they did have something in common. Morris reached out again. The strap caught on her muzzle. Had he even met a dog before? After a few more minutes of awkward maneuvering, the harness was finally on. Buddy wagged her tail at him. Time for a walk? But Morris just sat there. She nudged him. Let's go outside. He stayed in place, unconfident. Buddy sat, patient. She didn't know it, but she'd been picked for this role precisely because of her patience and tolerance. She also didn't know that this was the beginning of the biggest relationship of her life, that she'd bond with Morris in a way no other animal, not even a great ape, could. And Buddy definitely didn't know that Morris Frank would one day say, quote, "As surely as those pioneers who discovered lands and ideas for the world, Buddy rediscovered the world for blind people." All she knew was that Morris Frank needed her help, and she was going to do her best to provide it. Born in 1908, Morris Frank was just like his mother, Jessie. Sadly, when Morris was three, Jessie was thrown from a horse. She'd already lost sight in one eye years earlier during childbirth, and after this second accident, Jessie fully lost her vision. In 1924, Morris took a hit during a boxing match with a friend. Pain burst through his head, and the world went dark. It never grew light again. As we said, Morris Frank was just like his mother. Despite his blindness, Morris still attended Vanderbilt, working as a piano tuner and insurance salesman on the side. He was determined to have the life he planned for himself. Blindness just meant he required extra assistance, so the Franks hired help for Morris. But this wasn't the easy fix it sounded like. Morris described his helper as unsympathetic, which is putting it nicely. The helper attended classes alongside Morris when he remembered. He went on insurance sales calls and talked over Morris. He kept Morris from tripping on the sidewalk if he was paying attention. Morris was from a wealthy family, but clearly no amount of money could keep him safe, and he had very little expectation of a future wife or children who could help him. Morris could only take a girl on a double date, since he required a friend to guide him. So Morris's already limited options were even more limited. By age 19, Morris Frank was fed up. One afternoon, as his unreliable guide walked him home from the insurance office, Morris heard the yells of a paperboy. Not an unusual sound on the streets of Nashville in 1927, except the yells were addressed at him. Apparently, the paperboy thought Morris would appreciate one of the articles in the Saturday Evening Post. According to Dixon Hartwell's book, Dogs Against Darkness, Morris didn't know if it was curiosity or self-defense that drove him to buy the paper. For all he knew, it was just a sales tactic. Either way, Morris soon found himself sitting in his living room, listening to his father read an article titled "The Seeing Eye." The piece described a blind man as pathetic, shorn, prey, and at the mercy of all he comes in contact to. And that's only in the first two sentences. While this was a common sentiment at the time, it couldn't have felt good. Luckily, Morris's father kept reading, getting to the much kinder heart of the story. The writer, Dorothy Harrison Eustace, detailed a program the German government had set up. The program paired World War I veterans blinded by mustard gas exposure with dogs trained to guide them, to be their eyes. As his father finished reading, Morris was floored. Wheels spun in his head. Could he help bring this program to America? How did one adopt one of these incredible dogs? Did it truly work as well as the article claimed? Morris wrote to the journalist, Dorothy Harrison Eustace, immediately, posting his letter on November 9th, 1927. He had no idea he was about to change the American perception of blind people forever. He also had no idea that Dorothy Harrison Eustace wasn't actually a journalist. She was an heiress by birth, an expat by choice, and a German shepherd breeder by passion. She lived on a Swiss estate with her family, her business partner, and approximately 100 German shepherds. Her life's mission was to breed and train these dogs to be useful. Useful was one of Dorothy's favorite words, according to her biographer, Miriam Mascarelli. Previously, useful had meant helping the Red Cross, the local police, and the Swiss and Italian armies. Dorothy's dogs worked in search and rescue, as international messengers and as security guards. To improve her business, Dorothy and her husband George traveled around Europe, observing dogs and learning about various training methods. On a trip to Germany, they visited Potsdam, where Dorothy first saw blind veterans partnered with guide dogs. She wrote, "The one quick glimpse of the crying need for guidance and companionship in the lonely, all-enveloping darkness stood out clearly before my swimming eyes. To think that one small dog could stand for so much in the life of a human being, not only in his usual role as companion, but as his eyes, sword, shield, and buckler." Suddenly, useful had a new meaning. Guiding the blind. Dorothy was obsessed. So when the Saturday Evening Post approached her to write about her work at Fortunate Fields, she sent them something a little different. Dorothy wrote about the useful, incredible German dogs in the very article that spurred the letter from Morris Frank, The Seeing Eye. Dorothy was inundated with mail. Her article had done the 1927 equivalent of going viral. But Morris Frank's letter caught her heart. Perhaps because Morris didn't simply ask for a dog, but asked how he could help. Dorothy wrote back, filled with sympathy. She trained dogs, sure, but not dogs for the blind. And 1927 wasn't a great year for sending disabled Americans into Germany, as the Nazis were slowly gaining power. However, Dorothy did have several well-trained German shepherds, and she couldn't stop herself from offering Morris a dog. And, she wrote, if Morris was willing to come to Switzerland, her husband George and colleague Jack would try to train Morris to work with the dog. Jack's brother was blind, so he was familiar with the help required. It would be a moonshot, a grand experiment. None of them had ever trained a guide-dog partnership before, but they were willing to try, so long as Morris was truly committed. Dorothy would be in the States for Christmas in a few weeks and would follow up with a phone call then. About 2 weeks later, Morris received a telegram. Dorothy would call that night. Bursting with anticipation, Morris sat by the phone, every jittery breath taking him closer to the dream of independence. He could barely keep still. When the phone rang, he bounced out of his chair. Dorothy spoke softly. "Mr. Frank, do you still want to come to Switzerland for your dog? It's a very long trip for a blind boy alone." Morris struggled to speak through his thick emotions. Finally, the words poured out loudly all at once. "To Switzerland? To get a dog? Mrs. Eustace, to get my independence back, I'd go to hell."
To find out what happens next, listen to Dog Tales free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.